Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. The race of life, it's most productive when everyone fulfills his or her God-given role. Romans chapter 12 lists the spiritual gifts God gives to make fulfilling that role a joy, not a burden. Stay tuned, because your gift is in the list. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Pastor Lutzer, we're learning about finding community within the church. I think too many of us are prone to jump from church to church if we're not happy where we are.
You know, Dave, I think that one of the things that has really hurt Christendom is the sense of independence that we feel. We really think that we don't need one another, when in point of fact we do, and the Bible makes that very, very clear. And throughout the history of the Christian church, there have been those who have helped us, and we even see our connectedness with them. You know, the Christmas season is just around the corner, so here's a quick quiz. Who wrote "Hark the Herald Angels Sing," and how did it become famous? Who wrote "O Little Town of Bethlehem," and where was he when he was inspired to write it? And by the way, why did God choose Bethlehem? Well, these are the kinds of questions I answer in the book, The Carols of Christmas. Would love for you to have a copy. For a gift of any amount, you can go to rtwoffer.com, rtwoffer.com, or you can call us at 1-888-218-9337. You'll discover that through the Word of God, we are connected with those who have gone before and those who are with us at this time, and it is so important for us to recognize that we are a part of the same body. Now we go to the pulpit of Moody Church, where we learn more about community in Christian service.
We can walk away, and yes, we can. We can go from church to church. We can leave Moody Church if we don't like it, because there's another church down the street. Or you can leave that fellowship and you can go to another fellowship, and you can. But listen to me carefully. If you are disconnected from the body, if you're this strong individualist who thinks you don't need other members of the body, it is gruesome, and there are dire consequences. That's why I like to keep telling and retelling that story in Canada about a man who went into the fridge to get himself something to eat in a doctor's home and saw that human hand wrapped in a piece of plastic and lost his appetite. There's nothing wrong with a human hand. You brought two of them with you today. Most of you did. Many of you are watching my two hands right now. But cut off from the body, it's gruesome. And you, cut off from the fellowship of believers, that independent Christian, could I say it, perhaps even a church sampler. I want you to know today that you hurt, and so does the body hurt, because we are members one of another. You can't walk away from the body without it being gruesome. Also, as you look into the mirror, you can see that we share the same head, don't we? All the members of my body, most of the time taking their cue from my head. And we function as a unit. If I'm sitting down at my computer and doing some typing, as I try to do from time to time, I am totally coordinated. My feet are cooperating. They're not going anywhere. My fingers are cooperating. My elbows are cooperating. From time to time, my brain even cooperates. My mouth cooperates. It's shut. It's not talking. And so everything is working together. You know, elsewhere, the Apostle Paul made that statement. He said that we all are different. And he says, what if the whole body wanted to be an ear? What if the whole body wanted to be an eye? The only thing it could do is watch television all the time. Or catch this one. We'll relate to this. What if the whole body wanted to be a tongue? Paul says, then where would the hearing be? Where would the seeing be? Now we all fit somewhere within this body. We are connected to one another, aren't we? In fact, that's the next connection. We're connected to the body, so obviously we're connected to one another. That is very evident. Now, what the Apostle Paul does here, and I hope you're taking notes today, is he lists seven of the gifts. These are the major gifts. These are the motivational gifts. These are the gifts that you and I have been given. Some have been given more than one gift. And I need to say this. This applies to women just as much as it does men. I see nothing in the New Testament that limits the gifts to men. It applies to women. Women have certain functions within the church in terms of leadership that the scripture comments on. But when it comes to gifting, it is distributed throughout the body. So I want everyone to listen. I remember Bill Gothard giving some of the characteristics of these gifts. I'm going to give you some characteristics and help you decide right here today, where you may fit within the body. Let's list the gift. First of all, prophecy. A prophet is someone who speaks forth the word of God. They have a tendency to make quick judgments. They have an uncanny ability to smell hypocrisy a long ways away. They just like to cut right through it and they see hypocrisy. Now, there are some problems with prophets, and that is that sometimes they find it a little more difficult to see their own need. They see it more clearly in the life of others. They also, though, are sometimes impatient because when they see injustice, they want an answer right away. They want it taken care of. That's the gift of prophecy. The gift of serving. Those are people who see practical needs and meet them with joy in service. Now, listen up, you servers. There's something about you that I'd like to tell, and that is this, that oftentimes you will disregard your personal health and your personal welfare just to serve. That's the way a servant is, a person with a gift of servanthood. And they find it so difficult to say no that sometimes they just get worn out serving. But they also need to have affirmation. They need to know that they are doing things right. That's the way God wired those who have the gift of service. The next is teaching. It's the desire to validate truth. It's the desire to be systematic in the communication of truth. Research, accuracy in reporting, always concerned about information. Teachers are oftentimes so information-oriented that I'm reminded of the little poem that we used to have when we were growing up, "Ram it in, cram it in, people's heads are hollow. Ram it in, cram it in, make sure there's more to follow." Teachers are content-oriented. Now list number four, exhortation. Exhorters motivate people to maturity in Christ. They like to give precise steps on what you have to do to change behavior. They long for a positive response on the part of people. Exhorters like to look into people's eyes because they need to know that they're connecting. They just cannot be disconnected when they are teaching or preaching. They desire harmony within the body, and they're always working to unity and harmony because they know that spiritual growth can't take place without it. That's the exhorter. Well, let's go to the gift of giving. It's the ability to discern wise investments so that more money can be given away. Givers are motivated to give with the Lord's prompting. Sometimes they resist. They resist appeals given by men, but they love to give, and they're usually very frugal. I remember being at a camp this summer, and a man came to me and said, "You know, my wife and I love to give money away." Now, that's music to a preacher's ears. I listened up at that point. But, you know, there's no doubt that he had the gift of giving. Very frugal. They lived very simply. Why? Because they loved to give money away. And to them, frugality was proof and really a part of who they were so that they could give more away. God bless them. They have a tendency also to judge others by their use of money. Now, I can imagine somebody sitting here saying, "Well, thank God that I came to Moody Church today.
I don't have the gift of giving, and that means I don't have to give. Here I've been given all this time, and I don't even have the gift. Oh, no, I'm not going to let you go on that one. No. Listen carefully. All of us must exercise all gifts at some time or another. When I talk about the gifted process, God gives us one basic gift, but then we have to exercise all of them as God gives us ability. But some are uniquely gifted in areas. Administration, that's the ability to visualize the final result of a major undertaking, to break down long-term goals to achievable tasks, a willingness to endure hardship and criticism to see that those goals are accomplished, and the ability to inspire others, to lead them, to see the steps needed and to take people along until the project, whatever it may be, is accomplished. That's a marvelous gift that some people have. Number 7 is the gift of mercy. People with a gift of mercy often are those who themselves have been deeply wounded and hurt. And so they pick up hurt people. Hurt people are attracted to them. They find them out. Somehow they almost just seem to be able to pick up their scent. And pretty soon they've attached themselves to people who are in need. They're always attracted to people who are having mental, emotional, or physical distress. And there's a tendency on the part of those who have the gift of mercy to avoid firmness. That's the word that I want. In relationships, they also can't say no. They are scandalized by any injustice where anyone is hurt. That's the gift of mercy. Now, what is Paul saying? He's saying, look, folks, we are connected one to another. And what we need is we need all the members of the body functioning. During the past months and years, we've had a lot of new people come to Moody Church. Some of them have become members, some of them have not become members. And we suspect that there are many who come on Sunday morning, for example, and we don't exactly know who they are because we don't see them the rest of the time during the week. Let me speak to you very candidly. It is God's intention that we interact and work with other members of the body who have other gifting. The prophets should be working with people who have the gift of mercy. It almost tears them apart to see it. But what has to happen is we need that. We need people with the gift of giving working with the people with the gift of administration. We need exhorters who are up against people who may have the gift of serving. And therefore, we need one another. That's why you cannot serve Christ simply in a vacuum and serve him most effectively. Doesn't mean that you have to serve within the walls of this building. We have small group ministries, and by the way, you're going to hear about our ministries before this series is over. But it's important that the ushers work together, that the Sunday school teachers work together, that those who are in charge of parking work together, that those with the gifts of helps have opportunities to work in so many different areas here at the church and ministry together. Why? Because that's where the body grows and comes together and develops and matures in Christ. You say, well, Pastor Luther, you're getting very inward. Is all that you're just thinking about is the body itself? Aren't you concerned about the world? It is only when we are healthy in relation to the body, which the New Testament emphasizes so much, it is then that we become more effective in reaching the world. You see, we can't do it alone. And so it's God's intention to bring people together. When we function together, that's when things begin to happen. When you have those who have the gift of administration and the gift of exhortation and the gift of prophecy and we work together and we put up with one another, lovingly put up with one another. Sometimes, you know, you're at a meeting and we have a difference of opinion. Somebody says, well, I think this, and somebody
says, I think that, and we think, well, you know, there's disunity. No, there's no disunity. It's everyone looking through a situation through his own eyes, his own giftedness, and the way in which God wired him. And so we learn from everyone, but we work together for the glory of God. And I say it to those of you who perhaps have been attending for a long while, come, buy into what we're doing. Come to the membership seminar. See who we are as a church. Let's do greater things together for the glory of God. Now, here at Moody Church, we often have people who come who've been hurt by the body, because sometimes the body can hurt. If you haven't been hurt by another Christian, you're probably very, very young. And so there are people who say, you know, I'm just here to heal. That's fine. But how long is it going to take you to heal? You know, it is often said that if you get burned drinking hot milk, after that you even blow on yogurt, you know. So there are many people, you know, who are just saying, you know, I've been hurt and I don't want to get involved in the body. Well, listen, you have to take the risk of getting hurt again, but get involved in the body of Christ, because we need you and you need us. And so God has brought us together that we might work together for the good of the body, for the protection of the body, because my body is very protective of its various parts. I've often said, you know, you stumble on a sidewalk, your arm is willing to be broken to protect the head. It doesn't say, now, how much is this going to cost me if I'm going to put out myself to cushion this fall? It says, look, I'm willing to be smashed for the good of the head. That's the commitment we're called to today. And so I don't want to be too hard on you, but I do have to say that there could be some people who are listening who are saying, look, preach to me, sing to me. When I'm sick, visit me, take care of me. But you have nothing that you are contributing, and you're withholding yourself from the body that needs you. The function of the body, how wonderfully and marvelously we're put together, you know. If I have something to do, my feet carry me where I need to go. My eyes guide me so that I get there. And when I arrive, it's my hands that actually do what needs to be done. And so we function together. And Paul is saying, look, just look at yourself in the mirror and then say, is this the body of Christ at Moody Church? People say, well, you know, I'm a member of the invisible church. Well, needless to say, I have never seen the invisible church. No, you're a member of the body of Christ, but you function within a body that is localized in space and time. And this body happens to be on LaSalle Street and North Avenue in Chicago. So come with us and let us see what God would do among us as we grow together for the glory of God. You say, well, Pastor Lutzer, this has been a wonderful experience, but how do I become a member of this body? You keep talking about, you know, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And by the way, next week we're going to talk about how the body can heal itself. And if not next week, then the week after. But, you know, you say, well, how do I become a member? Well, it's through faith in Jesus, because you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died that we might have a sacrifice for our sins so that we can have fellowship with God, and that Jesus can meet all of our requirements before God on our behalf. 24 hours a day, God demands perfection from me if I am to be in fellowship with him. 24 hours a day, Jesus keeps supplying what God demands. And that's the gospel. And I invite you to believe in Christ. You will become a member of the body and begin to function the way in which God intended. Let me ask you, would you pray to God and say, God, where do I fit within the body of Christ? We're going to give you some opportunities to respond to that question, but pray about your commitment to the local body. Let's pray. And our Father, we do want to thank you today for your faithfulness. Thank you for the diversity of the body. Thank you for the diversity of color, the diversity of economic background, the diversity of educational background, the diversity of giftedness. Lord, we delight in seeing these differences come together under the good hand of God. But Lord, there's a job to be done here in Chicago. We pray that you might do what I have no hope of doing, and that is work within lives that they may be committed where you have led them. For the glory of your name, we ask. Amen.
My dear friend, what you have heard is the gospel. The fact that Jesus Christ is my righteousness is a truth that blesses me every single day. Well, Christmas is just around the corner. Did you know that in World War II, some German soldiers as well as some American soldiers actually celebrated together? It's an incredible story, a true story. And they sang Silent Night, Holy Night, the Germans in German, the Americans, of course, singing in English. And then the next day, they picked up their weapons and went back to war. There's something about Christmas and Christmas carols that touches the heart and that unites people. Well, those are the kinds of stories I tell in my book, The Carols of Christmas. This is our last opportunity of inviting you to receive your copy. For a gift of any amount, you can go to rtwoffer.com. It's a great book that will help you and encourage you as you think about the carols that we'll soon be singing. Or, if you prefer, you can call us at 1-888-218-9337. Thanks in advance for your gifts. Together we are making a difference.
It's time again for you to ask Pastor Lutzer a question about the Bible or the Christian life. Today's question deals with soteriology, or the theology of salvation. It comes from Dan, who emails us this. A person gets saved and receives the Holy Spirit. So how does receiving the Holy Spirit change him from being born a sinner?
Well, Dan, thank you so much for your email, and I want you to know that your question is more complicated than it might seem. Many people believe that when you receive Jesus Christ as Savior, when you are born again, first of all, the Bible does teach that we receive the Holy Spirit when we are born again. But many Christians believe that somehow the Holy Spirit is just tacked onto our sinful nature, and that no other change happens within us. Well, I disagree with that. The Bible says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things become new. What that means is this, that when we are born again, it's not just that we receive the Spirit. Something else happens within us and we are recreated. We are fundamentally different people. Because of that new creation, it is true to say that after you are saved, there is something within you that wasn't in you before, and that's the new creation. It isn't something that's just simply tacked on to our sinful nature. It is a fundamental change that God brings about in the human heart. Now, of course, because we're talking about the soul, it's a little hard for us to exactly define it beyond that, except to say that after we are saved, we still do struggle with sin. Even though fundamentally we have been changed, we still struggle with sin. But you are absolutely right. Receiving the Holy Spirit, that is to say, being born again, because those two happen simultaneously, brings about a deep change in the human heart.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, and we hope, Dan, that answers your question. If you'd like to hear your question answered, go to our website at rtwoffer.com and click on Ask Pastor Lutzer. Or you can call at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. You can write to us at Running to Win, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Think about this. Are you a make-a-difference person? Do you want to display the love of God to others? We're called to be salt and light and agents of change for those in darkness around us. Next time on Running to Win, join us as Dr. Lutzer talks about finding community in fellowship. Running to Win is all about helping you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Thanks for listening. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.